Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is called the resurrection chapter in Paul's writings. And today I want to talk about a glorified body. You know, one of the things that is part of the makeup of heaven is the fact that we get a glorified body, a new body. And heaven is not merely a state of mind. Some agnostic writers have tried to portray that and say that it was a state of mind, but actually heaven is a real place where the redeemed will have real bodies, exactly like the resurrection body of Christ. If we want to know what our glorified bodies are going to be like, then all we really have to do is study the resurrection body of Christ. And that'll give us information that we need. I'm going to start reading in chapter 15, verse 35. But someone will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it shows us that we consist of an inner self and an outer self. And so therefore our ultimate perfection demands that both body and soul be renewed. Even the creation of a new heaven and earth demands that we have bodies. And those bodies will be new bodies. Death results in separation of the body and the soul. Our bodies go to the grave and our spirits go to the Lord. The separation continues until the resurrection. In John 5:28-29, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Right now, the souls of believers who have died are in heaven. Someday their bodies will be resurrected and joined to their spirit. They will enjoy the eternal perfection of body and soul. In the same way, the bodies of unbelievers who have died are in the grave, and their souls are in hell. There will also be a day when the bodies of the ungodly will be raised from the graves and joined to their spirits. They will then stand, body and soul, before the judgment throne of God, and will then be cast bodily into the lake of fire. Matthew 5:30. Christians don't have to dread this judgment. There is no possibility of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. We eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. Every time I go to a cemetery, whether I'm helping conduct a funeral or if I'm just one of the participants in grieving and saying goodbye to that friend or family member, every time I go to that cemetery, I come away with the thought, well, that person, we're not leaving that person behind. That person is not in that casket. That person is not going down into the ground. That's their body that is going into the ground. Their soul and their spirit is with Jesus already. And what a comforting thought that is. Because we would be, of all people, most miserable if it were not for the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we have hope. We have hope beyond measure. In this life that we live, going through a whole lifetime, and then dying, if it were not for the resurrection, what a sad state that would be. But for the believer, we know. We know that we're going to receive a new body. And someone was talking to me today about my comments from last week about getting up in the morning and things aching and hurting. And they said this week it seemed like they noticed that more than ever. And they wanted to get a hold of me. But that, you know, that's how life is. The older we get, the more things hurt, the more discomfort there is. And it's just telling us you need a new body. And we're going to get one day. A couple of things that we're going to look at today that's in relation to our glorified body is, first of all, our resurrected bodies will be our earthly bodies glorified. Our resurrected bodies will be our earthly bodies glorified. 1 John 3:2. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? When Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. You know, here in this life and in heaven as well, we think about Jesus and the condition of His body. He's already received His glorified body. And there's some characteristics about that glorified body I want to point out. First of all, in John 20, verse 27, Jesus' wounds were still visible. The wounds that He received before and during the cross, those wounds are still visible. Those scars are still there. In Luke 24:39, it says He could be touched and handled. In Luke 24:42-43, Jesus ate real earthly food with His friends. In John 20:19, He could pass through walls. In Mark 16:12, He could appear in different forms so His identity was not immediately obvious. In Luke 24:36, He could suddenly appear out of nowhere. Another thing he could do, he could ascend directly into heaven in bodily form with no adverse effect as he went through the atmosphere. Luke 24:51 and Acts 1:9. Now, our bodies will be exactly like that. They will be real, physical, genuinely human bodies. The very same bodies we have while we're here on this earth, yet wholly perfected and glorified. 2 Corinthians 5:2 calls the resurrection body a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, folks, this is the kind of body that we're going to have for the rest of eternity. I find it interesting that it's going to be a body that has no blemishes. It's going to be a body that has no weakness. It's going to be a body that is going to be young. It's going to be a body that is able to do superhuman things. Just like Jesus in his appearance after the resurrection was able to do superhuman things. To be able to just ascend, to go straight up in the air, that's superhuman. To be able to walk through walls, close doors, that's superhuman. Our glorified bodies will not be restricted by space. Our glorified bodies will not be withheld by gravity. Just like Jesus, you remember even Jesus, before he received his glorified body, he was able to walk on the water. He defied the elements. They didn't have control over him. You say, well, why is that so important for us? Because we're going to be using these glorified bodies. We're going to be using these glorified bodies to do services. We're going to be doing ministry. We're going to be doing things to help Jesus in the carrying out of the kingdom. And we need these bodies so that we can do that kind of work. And the thing about it is, in this life, we do work, we work, and we get tired. But in that world, we're going to have a glorified body, and we'll do work, and we'll never get tired. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Work all day and not have a pain. Because we've got that glorified body. Well, as we look at Jesus' glorified body, we see that. Another look that we can get of this is to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes the resurrection of believers who have died and the simultaneous catching away to heaven of believers who are still alive. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that Jesus will bring with him those who have died in the Lord. Now, all those loved ones and friends that you know who have died in the Lord, they are with Jesus right now. And there is a special relationship between them and Jesus. He is communicating with them. He is taking care of them. They're in a place of safety. They're in a place of rest. And they are having all their needs met. But when the day comes for Jesus to come to receive the church unto himself, the Bible says he's going to return with his saints. Those who have died in Christ will come with him. Jesus will bring with him those who have died in the Lord. Christians who are alive in the earth will be caught up into the air by Christ. Now, the Scripture calls this to be snatched up or caught up. The Latin word for this is rapture, the word from which we get our word rapture. And it means just a sudden taking away. When we think of Enoch, when it talks about Enoch in the Old Testament, how Enoch, one day he was not because God took him. And this is called a translation. A person is translated from this earth to heaven. And this is body and all. Body and all is taken up. Therefore, the dead in Christ shall rise first, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, we shall meet the Lord and the saints in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, it says, behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. So this is a promise that we have, the resurrection body. God will glorify our body. He will give us a new body. The third thing I want to look at is some illustrations of the resurrection. When we think of resurrection and the glorified body, I think of John chapter 12, verse 24, where it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now this is showing us the picture of a body, a dead body, being buried in the ground. And that dead body is like seed. And when that dead body is put into the ground, it is there to rest. Now the spirit and soul is with Jesus, but the body is put into the ground. In 1 Corinthians 15, 36 and 37, he says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. Now, those of you who have ever done any gardening, if you planted tomato seeds, corn seeds, whatever it was, you took that seed and you placed it in the ground, didn't you? And it was just a small seed. And I wouldn't say that it was very pretty. I don't think seeds are pretty. I mean, they're okay, I guess. But they're nothing to write home. I mean, you know, I got this seed and it's so beautiful. I mean, you know, it's just a seed. It's got a purpose and that's it. And you take that seed and you put it in the soil. Maybe you put a little fertilizer and you put a little water to that seed and you leave it. Maybe you come back later and do some more water. There's some sunshine that comes along. And in God's way of doing things, He causes that seed to germinate. In other words, it dies. And then it sprouts. And when it sprouts, it just pops up out of the ground and begins to grow. If it's a corn seed, wow. You think about that one little kernel of corn. And out of that one little kernel of corn, there's this huge corn stalk that comes out that's got several ears of corn. And each ear of corn's got many, 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 many kernels of corn. What a beautiful thing. Now, I think a corn stalk is beautiful, don't you? It's something of nature. It's something of God's creation. But it's more than that. It's a picture of something. It is a picture of us. When our bodies are planted in the ground, and one day we come forth in the resurrection. Now, when we were put in the ground, I hear it all the time. You go to the funeral home and there's somebody in the casket. Yeah, what did they say? Don't they look good? Don't they look good? And I'll say, yeah. But I want to say, compared to what? I want to say, think about when they were living and they were healthy. I like to think of them that way. But we do that, don't we? It's like we don't know what to say when we're standing at the casket. Don't they look good? Well, you know, I mean, the funeral directors did a good job, and they used makeup, and Debbie goes in and fixes their hair and does things like that. And I guess for a dead person, they look good. You know? But that dead person, that body, they're going to close the lid and put it in the ground. Now, that's not all. That's not the end of it. But do you see the whole thing that's being brought out as it explains in 1 Corinthians 15? When you plant a seed, the first thing a seed does is die. It goes into the ground. It begins the process of fermentation and decomposition. And that's what triggers a new life. In the same way, our bodies will die, be placed in a grave, and then be raised, just as a seed dies and produces a plant that is far more glorious than the seed. Right now in my life, one of the things that I'm thinking about is my mother. My mother has Alzheimer's. My mother does not have the memory that she once had. My mother does not carry on conversations like she used to. She's living years back in time. And she has a lot of confusion. There are days where she has good days and she doesn't have as much confusion, but most days she has confusion. So as I sit and talk with my mother, for the most part, we've learned to agree with her. If she says something, we just kind of go along with her. We don't try to argue with her. No, Mom, that's not right. We don't go there because that frustrates her. So we just try to agree with her and change the subject and move along, you know? Now, if I were without hope, and be sitting, talking to my mother, and she has Alzheimer's, and she doesn't have that memory that she once had. She's not functioning like she used to, being such a caregiver of her family members, her children, her grandchildren, everybody. If I did not have the resurrection in view, if I did not have the new glorified body in view, then I would be very, very down. I mean, it's hard enough to go and visit with her and to see these things, but I can tell myself and we tell ourselves, this is only temporary. A day is coming. The day is going to come when my mom's going to have a new glorified body. And she's going to be young. She's going to have all her memory. And she's going to be that same loving mom that she's always been at. But it's going to be even better because then she's going to be perfect. Do you see this teaching of a glorified body is something that Christians, it's very unique for us. No other religion has this. Christianity has this fact that we can hold on to. We have this hope that we can hold on to. So one day, my mom is going to die if she doesn't go into rapture. And if she dies, then her body's going to be put in the ground. And as a result of that, she'll await the resurrection. And she'll come forth victorious. So that's something to look forward to. See, the seed contains the pattern for the plant to grow. When you think about an acorn has a genetic code within it. And within that little acorn, there's a genetic code for a whole oak tree. People ask me the question, they've asked me before, what about, when you're talking about the resurrection, what about people, their bodies have been blown up in war, or their bodies have been buried at sea? And I say, my answer is, don't worry about that. God knows where those remains are. There is a DNA within us. Right? And you can't destroy that DNA. That DNA, even if it's blown up by a bomb, there's enough parts. When the time of resurrection comes, God, in His miraculous way, will bring that together and there will be a new glorified body. God is able. Listen, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can do anything. Now, the greatest thing that's ever happened is Jesus being raised from the dead. But let's talk about Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, these are big things. And the resurrection of Jesus was proven. Jesus was seen by as many as 500 witnesses at one time. So we know this is going to happen. So just like that acorn and that oak tree, you know, when I think of an oak tree, it's a massive plant. And it comes out of that little seed. Like a seed, the resurrection body is sown and is raised. Human graveyards are seed plots for the resurrection of the dead. But the resurrection body is new, changed in virtually every way imaginable. It was sown in death and decay. It is raised to be imperishable. It was buried as a thing of defilement, ingloriously placed under the earth, but it is raised as something glorious. When entombed, it is dead, utterly inanimate and impotent, but it is raised to be powerful. It is planted as a lifeless material thing, yet raised as something full of life, and it is spiritual. Listen, how high are the walls of the new city going to be? You remember? Isn't it 1,500 square miles? Isn't that right? Look that up for me. I know they're going to be high. It's in Revelation. Think about how high those walls are. And ask yourself the question, are we going to have an elevator to get up those walls? I submit to you, no. We won't need an elevator. We'll be able to go up. Didn't Jesus go up? Didn't Jesus ascend to heaven? Sure. No limitations. No limitations whatsoever. Did you find it? Anybody find it?
Amen. Oh.
Okay.
Revelation 21:16. And then 17, he measures its walls, and it was 144 cubits thick.
So it's going to be high. And we are going to be able to take all that in. New glorified body. Our bodies will be perfect, and we'll be able to think about going somewhere else, and in an instant, we'll be transported there, just like Jesus did. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45-48. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as the heavenly man, so are all those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We're going to have that glorified body. We're not going to be just floating around disembodied spirits. But we'll have a body, it will have a purpose, and we'll be able to function and to do things, and we're going to have a good time. And we're going to be able to communicate with loved ones. We're going to be able to communicate with friends for the rest of eternity. That's heaven. Today, I hope you're on your way to heaven. If you're not, it's very simple to get there. You believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Receive Him into your heart. He'll come in. He'll be your Savior. For believers, it should be an encouragement to us whenever we get down and out, we ought to remember that we have the victory. He has given us eternal life, but He's also given us victorious life, abundant life right now. So take these scriptures and just apply them to your heart. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You that Your Word is real, it's alive. And we ask, Father, that You would apply this Word to our hearts now. Lord, help us to keep our minds on the heavenly world and the things that You have in store for us. And Lord, help us to set our affections on things above. Also, Lord, help us to be students of Your Word, that we might seek Your perfect will and to know what Your will is for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.